Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to shatter a few fairy tales. But first I want to ask you, are your minds made up? Do you think that you know everything that deep within you that you have heard from Mr. Tope, that you will hear from Mr. Hunt? Everyone here, as I understand it, should be here looking for new truth, at least with an open mind. If your minds are made up, how can you learn something that is new? Can we break down some of your false traditions and replace them with some biblical truths? Perhaps we even have three Bibles. We may have a Mr. Tope Bible, a Mr. Hunt Bible, and a Jesus Bible, and we're going to show you this evening exactly what Jesus meant when he said, "Ye are gods." Has anyone ever stopped to ask what were his qualifications? Why was he God? And how can he manifest God any more than you can, Mr. Tope can, no comment, Mr. Dewey can, or myself can? Most of the reasons, and I will quote them here, that Jesus was called God are: 1, he existed before birth; 2, he was the Son of God; 3, he was called Christ and Savior; 4, he performed miracles; 5, he was one with God the Father; 6, he had God's Spirit; 7, he overcame death; 8, he had the power to forgive sins; 9, he was made in the image of God; and 10, he was perfect. Now, if man can fit and fill all these criteria every bit as much as Jesus did, how will Jesus be God any more than man and women can be God? We will now examine these 10 points one by one, ladies and gentlemen. Number 1, man existed before birth just like Jesus did. God asked Job, "Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. This was before the earth was even created. We may indeed exclaim with David, "I am a stranger in the earth," Psalms 119:19. And speaking of the patriarchs of the Old Testament, the writer of Hebrews says, "These all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth," Hebrews 11:13. What is a pilgrim? What is a stranger? You know that those people who came to the United States that were pilgrims came from another land. It says in the next verse, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." Country is from the Greek patris, which is more correctly translated as fatherland, and is sometimes used to infer a heavenly home. Next verse, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." If the country had been anywhere on the earth, they had plenty of opportunity to return, but it wasn't on the earth. It was a heavenly country where they existed before they were born. "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. They did not want to return to any place on earth, but to a heavenly country where exists a city of the New Jerusalem as in God's presence." This heavenly country is mentioned in Proverbs by the eternal essence called wisdom. Here wisdom is personified, and it says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily God's delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men." This was before ever the earth was. Wisdom dwelt with God on his earth with the sons of men. Us. We existed before we were ever born. "No wonder God told Jeremiah, 'Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations.'" Why? Because God knew Jeremiah just like he knew Jesus before both were born. Point number 2. Man is also the Son of God just like Jesus is. Romans 8:14-17, we read, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are," what? the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Christ Jesus has nothing on us. We are his brothers. We are all sons of God. In 1 John 3, 2, we read, if I can find it here. And every man that hath, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him, because we are a son of God too. As sons of God, we shall eventually grow to be like our father. What son doesn't grow to be like his father? You have children. Don't you want them to grow up to be like you? Questionable for some. True. However, God is man's inheritance. From the Bible, we prove it, thus establishing point number two. Point number three. Men were also called Christ, just like Jesus was called Christ. But you never knew that, did you? Well, it says it right in the Bible. The word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, which means anointed. Its equivalent Hebrew is Messiah. The Hebrew Messiah comes from Messiah, which means the same as Christos. Any good concordance will reveal that Christ and Messiah are the same word, but from two different languages. Verified in John 1:41, where we read, He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. This means that wherever in the Old Testament the original Hebrew for Messiah, Messiah, is found, it could be translated correctly into the Greek Christos or the English Christ. Interestingly, Messiah is not usually translated as Messiah, but anointed. If the New Testament Christos were translated the same way, it would read Jesus the Anointed instead of Jesus the Christ. The word Christ was meant to convey an office, position, rather than a man's name. Let us be consistent translators and render Messiah to its English equivalent, Christ, and see how some of the passages would read. And the priest, that is Christ, shall take the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation, Leviticus 4, 5. This refers to the priest that offered sacrifices according to the law of Moses. In speaking of Saul, David said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's Christ, 1 Samuel 24:10. David himself refers to himself as a Christ. He says, But thou, God, hast cast off and abhorred, and thou hast been wroth with thine Christ, Psalms 89:38. Look it up, Mr. Tope. In another scripture, Messiah refers to all Israel. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, Touch not my Christ, referring to Israel. And do my people no harm, Psalms 105, 14, 15. Messiah is used in connection with a non-Jew. Thus saith the Lord to his Christ, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. Those specifically named in the scriptures who are a part of the body of Christ and thus bear the name of Christ are Saul, David, Cyrus, ancient Israelites, early Christians, and Jesus. Men are called saviors every bit as much as Jesus was, just as others besides him. Let's note a few. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, or anointed, the Lord, Luke 2:11. The reason he was called a Savior is because the angel knew there had been other Saviors. He was not called the Savior there because there had been numerous Saviors before. Angel wasn't blind. I hear a no. Let's read a few more in the good old Bible here. Here is one of many examples. Read it and weep. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer from Yasha, usually translated Savior, to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, Judges 3:9. Among others who are called Saviors are Tola, Judges 10:1, Shagmir, Judges 3:31, Gideon, Judges 8:22, and Samson, Judges 13:5. Another good one is, And saviors, plural, shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Obadiah, verse 21. Here we have solidly established point number three, that others besides Jesus are called Christ's and saviors. How can you believe the holy word of God, the Bible, and not believe it?
How many rows was that?
Number four, men can perform miracles just like Jesus did. Did not Moses, Peter, Paul, Elijah perform miracles? Of course they did. As great a man as Jesus was, and he was a great man, he said and he declared over and over, "It is not me that doeth the works, but who? The Father within me, he doeth the works. The Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. I can of mine own self do nothing. I seek not my own will, but the Father which has sent me." John 5:15-30. We see from the scriptures that Jesus was just as dependent on a power greater than himself as ordinary men and women are dependent on powers greater than themselves to perform miracles. "I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." John 14:10. If a man believes that Jesus is God because of the miracles he performed, then that's all the more reason to believe that we, as men and women, will become gods, because Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do," greater works than Jesus, "because I go unto my Father," John 14:10. But Jesus again gives credit to the Father, just like Moses, Peter, Paul, and other prophets have given credit to the Father. Was Jesus a liar? God forbid. Thus we have established that man, using the Father within him, can do as great a works and greater works than Jesus did. Point number five. Man can also be one with God the Father, just like Jesus was. Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." This statement so shook the Jews, they took up stones to stone him, and they said, "Thou being man, makest thyself God." John 10:30-33. Similar to what some people may think here. Here me and Joe are saying, we are gods. I sure hope we don't get stoned tonight. Most Christians accept the fact that Jesus and the Father are one, but few seem to be able to consider that any man or woman can also be one with God in the same way Jesus was. This fact is taught beyond refute in the Bible. Jesus says, "Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one, as thou hast sent them into the world, even though I also sent them into the world. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one." What does that say? That they may be perfect in one, in God, in Christ. Thus, we can conclude man can be one with God just like Jesus was. Number six, all men have God's Spirit in them just like Jesus does. John makes it clear that God dwells in man. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." 1 John 4:15-16. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." John 14:23. What difference is it between the way that God can dwell in an ordinary man and the way he dwelled in Jesus? What difference is there in the way that man can manifest God and the way that Jesus can manifest God? According to the Bible, there is none, excepting that Jesus was the first to manifest God in fullness. Hence he was called, in Romans 8:29, the firstborn of many brethren. "Know ye not you are the temples of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Are you blind? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Not just Christians have the Spirit of God, but that is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, John 1:9. Thus, all men have God's Spirit in them, just like Jesus did. Number seven, all men will overcome death with the help of the Father, just like Jesus did. In Romans 8:11, we read, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." By God's Spirit that dwelleth in you, your body will be raised just like Jesus' body was raised by the God that dwelled in him. Not by Jesus himself, no, but by the Father in Jesus. In Corinthians 6, 14:15, and God hath both raised up the Lord. Who raised up the Lord? Right, thank you. God raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that ye are the members of Christ, like Mr. Dewey was talking about? Of course you do. Remember, Jesus said, of myself I can do nothing. He didn't even raise up Lazarus from the dead of himself. He said a prayer to God and prayed that God would help him, and God heard his prayer for the faith of the people, and God raised up Lazarus from the dead. Read John 41:43. How can anybody here believe in the Bible, the Word of God, and believe that Jesus overcame death any differently than you or I will? Number eight, man has been given the power and authority. Hey, you're going to like this one, folks. Man has been given the power and authority to forgive sins just like Jesus did. Look at this, John 20:21. Well, I'll read it. I got it already written out here. I ought to read it because I wrote it out. It says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Here Jesus gives the apostles the same commission that he was given, and he says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Next verse, very important. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Mortal men have the ability, the power given to them by God to forgive sins just like Jesus did. Number nine, man is also made in God's image to manifest his glory just like Jesus does. The scriptures definitely teach that Jesus is in the image and glory of God. Colossians, we read of Christ being in the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. Orthodox Christians read these passages in them and see Jesus as God in a way that they can never be. They seem to overlook the scriptures where they talk about things about man, thus again qualifying man for godhood. The most familiar scripture on this note is found in the first chapter of the Bible. It's already been quoted twice, but I'm going to quote it again. I like it. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Here we have man created in the image of God just like Jesus was. We're also told that man is in the image of God, which is saying that he is just like Jesus was, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Man is in the image of God, just like Jesus was, and I defy anyone here to refute it. No wonder Jesus quoted Psalms when he said, ye are gods. If ye have the Spirit of God in us, if he is the principle by which we live and move and have our being, then he can certainly manifest God. And if we are one with that Spirit, then we become God. After all, the Son, Jesus said, that he and the Father were one. And then he said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. If we are one with the Spirit of God, we can also say, he that hath seen me hath seen God. Number 10, man can be perfect just like Jesus was. Everybody thinks Jesus had a corner on the perfect market, but he didn't. Doesn't say that anywhere. Though he were a son, check this out, ladies and gentlemen. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 5:8-9. If Jesus was always perfect, why was he a son? Why did he have to learn obedience? Why did he have to suffer? Then why was he made perfect? Why? Because he wasn't always perfect. He was a son like we are sons. He had to suffer like we suffer. Don't tell me we don't suffer. I suffer just as much as you do. Paul said, I die daily. I know he suffered. Jesus suffered. And because he suffered and he learned from it, he became obedient. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Perfection is taken from the Greek word in the Bible, teleos, which means to finish, accomplish, or complete. There's another word which is acrobella, which means to do a thing precisely or exactly correct. This is never used in conjunction with the man and Lord Jesus. It's always teleos. Perfection refers to the man, teleos, when it talks about to finish, accomplish, or complete. Be therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect, would be more literally translated, finish therefore what is expected of you, even as your Father which is in heaven is accomplishes what is expected of him. The Jews didn't accept Jesus because he wasn't exact enough according to the law of Moses. He was a wine bibber, glutton, blasphemer, lawbreaker, healed on the Sabbath, cursed of God, hung on a cross, mingled around with prostitutes and all kinds of sinners. It's a good thing that Jesus doesn't expect us to be perfect the way most Christians expect us to be perfect. It's an impossibility. Everybody has a different version of what perfect is. No, Jesus wants us to finish and accomplish and complete what he expects of us. Just like every living thing fulfills the measure of its creation, so can we. Now, are we going to stop believing all these silly fairy tales? Are we going to shatter a few fables? Maybe it's time we asked ourselves, do we believe what we want to believe about God, or do we believe what the Bible says about God? Thank you.